There was a line in one of our songs this morning, something about even when things are in chaos, I believe it was, that the Lord is, something to the effect, the Lord is still in control. He's still got things in hand. And I noticed Steve smiled when he saw that line. And things were kind of in that state this morning as the worship team was trying to get things together. Not everything was working properly and couldn't go through all the songs. And so there was a sense of unpreparation. But the Lord is still in control. And some of what Steve said when he was starting the meeting, it's important to remember that God didn't hand down an order of service and say, you must do this, this, and this, and do it perfectly, or your Sunday is ruined. That's not how God operates, and that's not, He calls the body together, like you said, to have a good time together with the Lord, to be in His presence, to remember His goodness towards us. And so that's what we want to be doing this morning. And not worrying too much about the little stuff. God is good all the time. All right, I'm going to give you part one of a two-part message this morning. And I say that knowing that there have been other Sundays when I have given you part one of a message and you've never gotten part two and never come back to it. So, pay extra attention. It may or may not be summarized again another time. Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. Paul is in the midst of a discussion of things like whether or not you should eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols, or whether or not you should observe special days on the calendar, and whether that makes you more or less righteous, a better Christian or a lesser Christian, and so forth. And basically, the conclusion of all that is that really those things aren't that important. It's love is really the crucial thing. But here he says something speaking to the nature of the kingdom of God. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I have an emphasis on that phrase, in the Holy Spirit, because we're approaching Pentecost, and I've been kind of speaking a series of messages on the Holy Spirit between Passover and Pentecost. And this is what the kingdom of God is. You could just say, summarize this verse, condense it even further. You could say, for the kingdom of God is dot, 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 in the Holy Spirit. That's where the kingdom is. It's in the Holy Spirit. How many of you are conscious of the fact that when you're born again, you become a believer, you're saved, you're a Christian, that means you are now a citizen of a different country? You're no longer Americans. Did you know that? No matter what it says on your passport or your driver's license, you're no longer Americans. You are Christ ones. That's what Christian means. Christ ones. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. In fact, you're no longer members of the human race. The fallen human race, the descendants of Adam and Eve. Did you know that? You're no longer a member of the human race. So you really are aliens in this world. You're a bunch of ETs, extraterrestrials, because you're citizens from up there, heaven. You're another species altogether. Did you know that? You're the redeemed of the Lord, a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are a new creation. Now, this is a reality that the world doesn't recognize. They don't understand. Although there are times they think that we do come from another planet. Boy, you guys are really weird. But sometimes we don't realize the truth about ourselves. Because, well, we kind of get trapped into this thing of looking at the outward appearance. And we look at ourselves, this is what we see. For the moment, we're stuck in these bodies. We look human. And unfortunately, we sometimes act very human. Act like the world, and we forget who we are in Christ. How many of you are familiar with the plot of the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Classic science fiction horror film from way back. Not the 70s version or whatever, whenever they remade it, but back there in the 50s or 60s. You familiar with that? Where the kids come home from school and there's just something different about mom and dad. They look the same, but they act kind of different. It's kind of, you know, they're kind of creepy. Because they've been taken over by the aliens. Well, anyway. We're in these bodies, but we're not really members of this race any longer. We've been born again. And someday we will be changed out of this state. Hallelujah. We won't be in these bodies anymore. We'll receive new glorified bodies. And for those of us who feel aches and pains on a regular basis, that's good news. Those of you like Daniel that are still young and vigorous and go flipping head over heels on the ski hill and stuff like that, you'll understand this truth later. But until that day comes, here we are, stuck in these bodies, and we have to live by faith. We don't get to live by sight. We have to live by faith. But part of living by faith is learning to view ourselves not according to the flesh. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, about verse 16. Not according to the flesh, but according to our true identity. Colossians 3:3, I believe it is, says that our lives are hid with Christ in God. And that's who we really are. Live by faith in who we are. Now, the disciples of Jesus, the original disciples, when Jesus came on the scene and John the Baptist right before him, when they came on the scene and they preached good news, the kingdom of God is at hand. Wonderful news. But they didn't understand the true nature of the kingdom. They were thinking in geopolitical terms. Okay, this is good. The Messiah is going to come and He's going to throw out the Romans. He's going to free Israel from all the foreign oppressors and make us the chief of the nations. And the Lord will do that someday, by the way. But they didn't realize that Jesus came to ransom the souls of men, to deliver us from sin, from death, from this dominion of darkness, and deliver us into this other realm of mercy and love and forgiveness and eternal life. A spiritual kingdom. It took them a while to understand that. I don't think they really understood that till after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came. But throughout church history, we disciples have continued to imagine the kingdom in ways that are not the kingdom. You look back and see how the church many times embroiled itself in politics, seeking earthly power among the kingdoms and the nations. And popes and cardinals and bishops ruled over territories and empires and acted like kings and princes instead of ministers. They made war and not peace. They preached the law and not the gospel. And they oppressed the poor instead of serving them. And they sought their own glory, not the Lord's. That's just, unfortunately, part of the history. And even today in our society, we see that some people think we can legislate morality. We can strong arm our way to righteousness with rules and regulations. And we can make people conform to our standards, our expectations. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have certain rules and regulations, but do we understand? Is there any law? Is there any constitutional amendment that can transform the inner nature, the heart? Can the sin nature be changed and stopped from sinning simply because a law is passed? And there are people, groups of people who have tried to achieve utopia, heaven on earth, by withdrawing from society at large. Let's go off by ourselves so we won't be corrupted. Go off and live in little enclaves or communes and we'll abstain from all those things that would influence us to in a bad way and will strive to be noble, strive to be pious, and will protect ourselves from the world. And by that means, we'll be more holy, more pure. But can you really escape the problems of society when the real problem is always inside of you? You bring it with you. Pride and selfishness go wherever you go. Can you really get away? And then there are folks who they're seeking the kingdom of prosperity. They're looking for that happy realm of material blessing where every prayer is answered and it's answered according to the way you want. And every hint of sickness or poverty or misfortune is banished. Because you make the right confession. And you sow into the right ministry. And you practice the right principles of victorious living. And you employ the sacred good luck charms of certain rituals. And you do so unfailingly. Unfortunately, the empirical evidence, if we were to examine the effects of the prosperity gospel, is that most of the prosperity goes to the preachers of the prosperity gospel. But we see that lots of Christians are absorbed into one of these visions of the kingdom, and none of them is the kingdom at all. That's not where the kingdom is. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," so it's really important to know where to look. And the people seeking these other things are missing the boat. At best, they're misguided. At worst, they're not even in the kingdom. And we don't even want to think about. When Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate said, "Are you a king? What's this nonsense about you being a king?" Jesus said, "If my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would fight. If my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would be getting out the vote. If my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would be taking over the nations. My disciples would be reforming society into utopias. My disciples would be ruling Wall Street and living debt-free and never be sick or suffer in this life at all. But my kingdom is not of this world." It's a whole different thing altogether. It's worth taking a look at Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount and just see how radically, totally, fundamentally Jesus his mindset, his attitude is completely opposite from the world. It's just totally the opposite. And we can kind of measure ourselves there. Kind of use his mindset as a compass and see, am I going in the right direction or not? Or do I need to completely turn around to go in his direction? Which is the word repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 6:19 or so, do I want to start way up there to the end of the chapter? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Oh, but you've got to have $1 million at least in your retirement account, or you won't have a decent standard of living when you retire. And it's your God-given right as Americans to retire and live as millionaires. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And skipping down to verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. And the two masters Jesus is talking about, you cannot serve God and mammon. And therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Don't worry about those things. Now, to be fair, I did think last night, what am I going to wear tomorrow? I better try to get the wrinkles out of this sweater. Jesus says, don't worry about those things. Don't get uptight about it. And he has some examples there about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and how Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like them. And down to verse 31, therefore do not worry, again, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be taken care of. Seek first the kingdom. So we need to realize that no ambition that seeks after money for money's sake is of the kingdom. And if you happen to enjoy great prosperity of food and drink and clothing, that in itself does not mean you are enjoying the favor of God. It's not signs of the kingdom. And if you have anxiety and worry and fretting over these things, that's signs of a mind that is enslaved to mammon and is not yet free in the Spirit. The kingdom of God is in the Spirit. It's not in our things. It's not in our rules. It's not in our fine organization. It's not in this building. It's not in the external or material realm. The kingdom of God is in the Spirit. And that's the realm we want to be in. It's life in this Holy Spirit. It's the eternal life of Jesus living in us. Seek that first. Seek Him first. Now, I just want to be careful and say this isn't about, oh, I've got to spend more time. I've got to have 2 hours of devotions instead of 1 hour this morning. That's not what it's about. It's not about some outward measure of our piety. It's a mindset. It's an attitude of the heart. It's a matter of our identity. I belong to Jesus Christ. I am His. He is mine. And whatever He says is fine. That's what I'm paying attention to. Not the world says I need this and I need that and somebody says this, but I'm listening to Jesus. He's my King. I'm hearing Him. And if Jesus says to go here, if Jesus says to go there, to do this, do that, live this way or live that way, if Jesus says it, then that's the kingdom. That's what it's all about. When Jesus is ruling in my heart, the kingdom is right here in me. The kingdom is among you. And it's all about Him. It's not about our success. It's not about our comfort or our preferences. But it's Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, Lord. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And how does God speak to us? By His Holy Spirit whispers a word in your ear. Says, go this way or go that way. So what's motivating your life? What's dictating your life? Is it mere bread? The daily struggle, the grind to achieve, to succeed, to earn, to get your daily bread? Or is it a word from God? A Rhema word, a Holy Spirit word, a quickening of the Logos to your spirit that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing the things I do. That's why I live where I live. That's why I'm married to who I'm married. That's the secret of my life. The wind blows. And you can see some of the effects of the wind blowing, but you can't actually see the wind. So it is with everyone who is born of the Holy Spirit. That's living in the kingdom. We need to be shaken and awakened a little bit. Need to be shaken out of our slavish devotion to the opinions and attitudes and ways of the world. And awakened to the heavenly realities of our identity in Christ. We're the sons of God. Romans 8, Paul says the whole creation is eagerly waiting, groaning with expectation, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the creation's going to have to wait for the full revelation is down the line. When we see Jesus, when He returns, we get our glorified bodies, and that's going to be a glorious day. But let's get some revelation of it now. Let's get a little, what the Scriptures call, a foretaste of the powers of the age to come. Let's get some revelation of that. The kingdom of God is not food and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. It's life in the Holy Spirit. And that's where we want to live. So that's part one of the message. Maybe part two in a couple of weeks or something. Lord, I thank You that You have given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken because it's not composed of the things of this world. It doesn't depend on the things of this world. It's completely independent of and it's superior to this world. And I thank You, Lord, I pray, raise up our thinking to Your thinking. Move us. Teach us, inspire us, fill us, empower us by Your Holy Spirit. Help us by revelation to grab a hold of the kingdom of God in our midst. Rule in our midst. You are the King, the Lord of Lords. And we pray, Lord, that through us, that You would continue to bring Your kingdom to this earth by causing Your will to be done in our lives here as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.